All right, chapter 4, 1 Kings chapter 14. As you guys are turning there, let's pray and get ready for God's word. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. And it's always so fresh and always so alive straight from heaven, Lord, for those who know you. And when you anoint it with your Holy Spirit, God, your word is always speaking to us, is breathing, Lord, life coming off the pages of Scripture. We love it. And I pray tonight you would bring your word to life again. Lord, just fill our hearts with your spirit and your word. Speak to us, warn us, encourage us, build us up. God, convict us so that as we take communion tonight, our hearts will be clean. Let us be thankful and rejoicing in what you've done. And Lord, speak to us tonight in the afterglow. So many things for tonight. We're looking forward to what you're going to do. But now, open your word to us, God, and teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm only doing one chapter tonight because I want to be able to move into afterglow, and so I don't want to take too much time on that and have communion as well. But remember the setting. God is now, the nation has been divided up into two, the north and the south, and God has sent a warning to Jeroboam, who was up in the northern part of the kingdom. Solomon's son is now ruling the southern part of the kingdom, Jeroboam ruling the northern part of the kingdom. And God sent a warning to him because they were worshiping false gods. Remember, they set up the idols, the altars there in Dan and Bethel, and they were worshiping false gods, and God sent the prophet there to rebuke them. We saw that last week, and the prophet didn't keep to God's word. He wasn't supposed to eat or drink there in the northern kingdom, and he did, and God sent a lion, and the lion killed him, and God warned him he would die for that. And you think, wow, that's awfully harsh, but remember, we're held accountable for what we know. And if you were a prophet of God and people did not have the Holy Spirit in that day, you were the only one who had the Holy Spirit speaking to you if you were a prophet. So when God spoke to you that clearly and you were his representative, you had a very high standard. And we have the same thing now. Depending on what we know of the Lord and how long we've walked with the Lord, God holds us more accountable. But a prophet was especially accountable. And so he was struck dead. And now we come to chapter 14, and we're going to see that Jeroboam, although he was warned, and he saw the altar split open, and he saw the things the prophet said would happen take place, and all the miracle of his withered arm, and it restored again, if you were with us last time, he doesn't repent. And we talked about how outward miracles doesn't make a believer. It's a heart change. There has to be something in the heart that takes place. And so now we're going to see that because of this, God is going to bring further judgment in on the house of Jeroboam. And God will now send this prophet. It's interesting. He'll send the prophet Ahijah, if you will. And yet Ahijah just stays in his house. It's kind of funny. He doesn't go anywhere, but God sends him. And it's neat how God does it. Let's get into this. Look at chapter 14, verse 1. At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, became sick. Now, he was an infant. Okay, Abijah is a little infant baby here at this point, but he becomes sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, please arise and disguise yourself that they may not recognize you as the wife of Jeroboam. He wanted to travel incognito so nobody would know that it's the king's wife, maybe to keep her protected, maybe to keep this stealth that he was going to the prophet of God rather than his own altars. And go to Shiloh. Remember, Shiloh is where the history of the nation was. That's where God first established the tabernacle, and that's where Samuel was, and God first began to meet with his people there in Shiloh before he moved to Jerusalem, his spirit to Jerusalem, if you will. And again, Ahijah, remember, was a prophet, and he says, indeed, Ahijah the prophet is there who told me that I would be king over this people. Remember, when the kingdom divided, Ahijah came to Jeroboam and tore the robes in two. He got his robe, but he tore it in 12 pieces and said, these 10 pieces will be yours. God's giving you 10 tribes to rule over for the nation of Israel. And God is leaving two tribes for Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. That is Judah and Benjamin because of David. And so David was faithful. Solomon wasn't, but David was. So I'm going to leave a remnant because of David's faithfulness. But you're going to be over 10 kingdoms now. And he told Jeroboam, if you will just obey me, if you will honor me, I will make your kingdom great like I made David's. I mean, look what God could have done with Jeroboam. But Jeroboam, rather than obeying the Lord and believing God's word, he jumped right into worshiping false gods because of fear of the people and that they would go back down to Jerusalem and all this. And so now God has to bring judgment on him. And what a warning that is for us if we will just believe God's word and not fear people. God can do so much in our lives. All of us, I think, struggle with the fear of man, especially when we're younger. The older we get, the less we fear man. And that's a good thing, to lose the fear of man. And I'm not talking about the fear such as a fist fight or, you know, this kind of thing, or whatever the case might be. I'm talking about just, you know, you want people to like you. You don't want to be yelled at. You don't want to be seen as a bigot, a racist, or whatever these things would be if you make a stand on God's word, right? All the things the world will accuse you of. And the older you get, the less you care about that. And you realize it doesn't matter what you call me. You need the Lord. And you need to be saved. And you're willing to lay yourself down. You become a man or woman of no reputation. That's what that means. You don't care what people. It's not that you're trying to be rude or crude and you're not trying to be a good testimony. The point is like, you know what? This is too important to worry about everybody liking me. We've got to speak the truth, and we do it in love. And that's what happens when you become a father or a mother in the faith. Not that you can't do it as a young man or young woman in the faith, and you should, but especially those of in this room that are fathers and mothers of the faith. You've been walking with the Lord, you know, 20 years plus or whatever. God has grown you, matured you, and now you're ready to disciple others. You got to pray for boldness and to lose the fear of man. And this is what caused Jeroboam to stumble. He feared the people of the kingdom. He feared that they would leave and go back down and follow Rehoboam. And, you know, and he feared that all these things and all these fears led him into great disaster. And so he says, well, go back to the prophet that told me I would be the leader, even though he's walked away from God by this point. See if he says our son will live. Also take with you 10 loaves, some cakes, and a jar of honey, and go to him, and he will tell you what will become of the child. And Jeroboam's wife did so. So he knew this was a man of God, even though he wasn't following God. He said, I know that God is using this man, so go to him. And Jeroboam's wife did so, and she arose and went to Shiloh. This is about 12 miles, 11.8 if you Google it, but who knows where they lived exactly in the town. But about 12 miles from Shechem to Shiloh. And by the way, Shechem today is called Nablus, N-A-B-L-A-S. So if you look it up, it'll be Nablus. But it's about 12 miles away. So she travels 12 miles. That's a good journey. They say a good you know, hefty journey is a 20-mile day for those that are hoofing it. So she probably had 3/4 of a day if she was hoofing it, so to speak. And probably she was, because she was a mom and she had a sick baby. And so she gets there probably in under a day. And he says, take 10 loaves, some, you know, cakes, go to the child. Jeroboam's wife did so, went to Shiloh, came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were glazed by reason of age. Probably cataracts. It's interesting when you look at what stopped people back in that day from seeing. Could have been cataracts, could have been something else. Literally, it means his eyes were set. And that was, they weren't really usable. So, but very well could have just been something like cataracts in that day, you know, the bright desert sun and being out in it. And again, not having the medical advances we have today, couldn't see anymore. And the Lord had said to Ahijah, here is the wife of Jeroboam coming to ask something about her son, for he's sick. Wouldn't it be amazing to be a prophet? You're sitting there, you can't see, and God says, hey, Ahijah, yes, Lord. Jeroboam's wife, she's coming to visit you. Really? Why is she coming? Well, her son is sick. And so God's just talking to him, telling him what's going to happen. Now, she doesn't know that, but when she gets there, he's ready for her. It's really, when you need to see these stories, it's so neat. It says, thus and thus you shall say to her, for it will be when she comes in that she will pretend to be another woman. She's going to come in a disguise, but you're going to know who she is. Kind of funny, a blind man, she's disguising herself for a blind man. And so a blind man's going to recognize this woman in her disguise and tell her who she is and that he knows who she is. I mean, the whole thing's really humorous when you think about it. But God told him. And so it was when Ahijah heard the sound of the footsteps, she came through the door. And here she's walking right in. And the first thing he says, come in, wife of Jeroboam. Can you imagine the scene? I mean, she would be like, how did you know? It's like, you are a prophet. It's like, you can't get away with anything around these guys, right? And so it's interesting. When you read about the prophets, they were oftentimes surprised when God didn't tell them what was going on. You know, God told them what was happening. And when they didn't know, they're like, wait, you know, God hadn't told me what's going on. You know, what's going on here? So I'm not sure. Remember Elisha with Gehazi. And Elisha, the woman that had the child that had died, they go to get Elisha, and Gehazi's protecting, you know, his prophet. He's kind of the guardian of him. And they come, and she falls and grabs his feet, you know, and he's like, don't touch him. Stay back from the prophet or whatever, this kind of thing. And Elisha says, leave her alone. He says, God hasn't told me why she's here. Like, this is weird. I don't know why she's here. God always tells me everything. I don't know why she's here. And she's like, my son, and all this kind of stuff. So God tells him. And this is great. I love it. Come in, wife of Jeroboam. Why do you pretend to be another person? For I have been sent to you with bad news. He was just sitting there. She came to him. Look how God works. See, God does things in our life. God was sending the prophet to Jeroboam and his wife to give them a message, but he knew that the prophet couldn't go. He was blind. So rather than have the prophet go, God said, oh, I want to make something happen that brings her here, but really I'm sending him to you. So this is a word from the Lord. I'm just putting you in a place where you can hear it. It's a lot like when God brings us to a service, whether it's a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning. You know, God can say, look, I'm bringing a message to you. So, no, I came to church today. No, God said, no. No, I'm sending you a message. I just used this method to get you here. So you need to be listening to what I have to say and be alert. And so this is a very interesting way that God does this. I've been sent to you, although I'm sitting here. And look what he says, with bad news. Now, you don't want to hear that from a prophet. I've got a message from the Lord for you. Really? It's bad news. Oh, you know, how about some good news from the Lord? No, this is bad news because of their rebellion and their sin. Remember, God had given them an opportunity. They didn't repent. And this is why the bad news is coming and the consequences are coming. God sends good news when we repent, and bad news is sent when we don't repent. He says, go and tell Jeroboam, thus says the Lord God of Israel, because I exalted you from among the people and made you ruler over my people Israel. I mean, look, I exalted you. I gave you an honored position. And I tore the kingdom away from the house of David. Oh, how that would have brought memories back to Jeroboam. Remember, he tore his robes. He tore his garments. As he reminds him, I tore the kingdom out of Rehoboam's hands and I gave you 10 pieces. And you didn't honor me, or you didn't fear me, and you didn't obey me. And yet you have not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all of his heart to do only what was right in my eyes. Now again, he's not saying here that David didn't sin and adultery and the death of Uriah and all that, or Uriah. But what he's saying is David repented. David was a man after God's own heart, not because he never messed up, but because he repented. You want to be a man or woman after God's heart? You don't have to be perfect. Just repent. Turn from your sin. That's God's forgiveness. And turn from it. That makes you a man or woman after the heart of God. He says, but you've done more evil than all who were before you. For you've gone and made for yourself other gods. I mean, after I spoke to you personally, you went and made other gods and molded images to provoke me to anger. Not just to get me angry, but you're provoking me. You know about the calf and when they came out of Egypt and they made the golden calf and all that I had to deal with the nation of Israel. Now you came and you not only built a golden calf up here after I spoke to you personally, but you built two. You put one in Bethel and one in Dan. What are you doing? You've doubled your iniquity. You've provoked me to anger and you've cast me behind your back. Therefore, behold, I will bring disaster on the house of Jeroboam. And I will cut off from Jeroboam every male in Israel. Now again, these consequences are huge, but remember, the accountability goes with the consequence, and the consequence goes with the accountability. Jeroboam had been given a personal message from God. He'd been exalted by God to be a king over the land in the north. And now God says, because you were given so much information and exalted to such high position, and now you've done this, you've got a great consequence, and it's even going to spread down to your family. Every male will be cut off in Israel from you, bond and free. And I'll take away the remnant, even the leftovers. There won't be anybody of your family of the house of Jeroboam. They're all gone. As one takes away refuse, until it's all gone. So basically it's like taking trash away or human waste away is what it's like because of your rebellion. And listen to this. This is horrible. The dogs shall eat whoever belongs to Jeroboam and dies in the city. And the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the field, for the Lord has spoken. In other words, your family, when you guys die, you're not even going to get to be buried. He wasn't going to have them like attacked by live animals or wild birds or whatever. But he says, when you die, nobody's going to bury you. And the wild animals are going to eat your flesh. That was a huge, just, I don't know if abomination is the word, if that's maybe too strong, but to the Jew, not being buried was a big deal because they believed in the resurrection and then they wanted to preserve their body and all these things that went with the mindset of that day. And so he says, you're not even going to get to be buried. Your family's not going to be buried and you're going to be killed by beasts of the field, eaten by wild animals. The worst thing you can imagine, your family member or somebody like that, eaten by a wild animal. I mean, this is what he's telling him is going to happen. And then he gives the solid nail in the coffin. The Lord has spoken. It's going to happen. God says it's going to happen. And this is so emphatic. Arise, therefore, he tells his wife, and go to your own house. Go back home. And this is torturous. Look at this. When your feet enter the city, the child shall die. We're going to see more specifically right when she gets to the threshold of her house. She's in the city, like the prophet said, but more specifically, the prophet doesn't say, you're literally going to be at your threshold. Now imagine, when he says, when you get back, the child's going to die. Can you imagine that journey, that 12-mile journey back? thinking, I've got to get back before my child dies. I've got to get back before my child dies. And trying to go as fast and breathing hard and panting and dirty and trying to. And the moment she gets there, the child dies before she can even go get her last hug. Now you might think, that sounds so cruel. No, remember. Jeroboam and his wife had said to God, forget you. We don't want you. We're going to worship other gods. We have nothing to do with you. And God says, now you're going to suffer the consequences. You're going to find out what it's like to wave your hand at God. There are great consequences for that. And some of them are very sad, and some of them are very painful, but it's real. And all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him. Look at this. I love this. Again, this goes back to what we talked about Sunday. Let me read it first. I get ahead of myself. Sometimes, remember as a kid when you would run, you were too little, and you'd get ahead of yourself and fall and tumble? You ever do that? That's how my brain does sometimes. I'm like, stop. Pick your brain up. Okay, here, just put the brain back on. Here we go. And all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him. Here it is. For he is the only one of Jeroboam who shall come to the grave, because in him there is found something good toward the Lord God of Israel and the house of Jeroboam. Listen to what he's saying. I'm going to let your child be. He's going to die like all of your family. But I found something good in him toward the Lord. He loves God. So he's going to be honored and get a burial. No doubt he'll be in the kingdom. He'll be in heaven. But I'm going to go and take his life because of your sin. But I found something good in him. So he'll get to be buried. The rest of you won't. This is an infant. How could you say there's something good toward the Lord with a baby that can't even talk yet? Here's why. Remember we talked about Sunday? When does a baby become a person? Before the mom and dad meet. Before the mom and dad are together physically, it's a person. How do we know that? Because God knows all things from advance. He made them all. He's ordained it. It's just a matter of timing as to when God makes that person. And he forms and shapes each person in the womb. So God already knew this little guy. God knew him. God knew his heart. God knew what he was going to be like in heaven. God knew that he loved him. God knew that he would honor him. It's like, you know what? Too bad you couldn't have had more fun on the earth. Your dad was a real loser. But you love me. And we have a great relationship, although you don't know it yet. You're just an infant. But I'm going to bring you onto the kingdom, and we're going to just rejoice together. Isn't that great? You see God's eternity. See from God's perspective, eternity. God sees all things. And so I love it. Moreover, the Lord will raise up for himself a king over Israel who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam. This is the day. What? Even now. I love the prophets. God's talking to him during the conversation. He's like, and God's going to raise up. What's that? Oh, right now? God's raising up a king right now. What? Yes, right now God's raising up a king. He just told me. You know, I love the prophets. I wouldn't love to have that kind of connection to God. You know, you can freak somebody out and act like you did. You know, sometimes people think pastors hear more from God than they do and stuff. And so if you catch a young believer and act that way, you can freak them out. But anyway, they get older and realize, they get mad. You tricked me. You don't hear any more than I do. You know, anyway, so, but that's funny. But he really did because he was a prophet. He says, what? Even now? For the Lord will strike Israel as a reed is shaken in the water. He will uproot Israel from this good land which he gave to their fathers and will scatter them beyond the river, that is the Jordan. And he scattered them up. Assyria is going to come and take them out and scatter them up in the regions of what we call today Assyria. Syria and that area, Turkey and all, but it was Assyria then. Because they've made their wooden images, provoking the Lord to anger. And by the way, he's referring now to these 10 tribes when they get scattered. And he will give Israel up, that is the 10 tribes, because of the sins of Jeroboam, who sinned and made Israel sin. Then Jeroboam's wife arose and departed. You might say, ran and came to Tirzah. Look at this. And when she came to the threshold of her house, the child died. I almost see her diving across the room for that one last hug, and he's gone. And you look back, you know, I wonder how many people spend their life in rebellion to God, and then when the consequence comes, they sit back and look at their life and say, why did I do that? Why did I rebel against God? You know, the Bible says on Judgment Day, note this, on Judgment Day, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In Scripture, those are two very distinct things. Gnashing of teeth represents anger in Scripture. Whenever you see gnashing of teeth, it's when people are mad. It's like, ugh! Right? It's all through the Scripture consistently. That means on Judgment Day, there's going to be people that they hate God so much, even when they're standing before him. They just hate him. And they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. But there's going to be another group of people that are going to be weeping And they're going to go, why didn't I listen? Why was I so prideful? What was so important that I win the argument? Your religion's no better than mine. I think my ideas are right. Who says the Bible was written by God? And they're going to be just weeping, going, what a fool. Why was I such a fool? Why didn't I just listen? I knew in my heart it was right, but something, is it pride? I don't know what it is, but why? There's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's going to be, and the Bible calls it an awesome day of the Lord. Here she comes, no doubt she is weeping as she collapses at the feet of her child who is gone, but he's with the Lord because something good was found in him. We'll get to know this little guy. He won't be little when we get there. I'm going to be in heaven. Who are you? I'm Ahijah. I'm Jeroboam's son. You're Jeroboam's son? Get out. Are you serious? Man, good to meet you. Good job. You know, my dad was not so good, but I made it, you know. And they buried him, and all Israel mourned for him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through his servant Ahijah the prophet. Now, the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he made war and how he reigned, indeed, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. The period that Jeroboam reigned was 22 years, so he rested with his fathers, and Nadab, his son, reigned in his place. Now, again, Jeroboam's family wasn't wiped out right away. We're going to see that it was over time. God began to, and eventually God will take care of all of them and gradually wipe them out. And Rehoboam, this we're back down now to the southern kingdom, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king. He reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. His mother's name was Naamah the Ammonitess. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, that is the nation, the tribe. And they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they committed more than all their fathers had done. For they also built for themselves high places, sacred pillars and wooden images on every high hill and under every green tree. So it wasn't just the northern kingdom messing up. The southern kingdom was doing this too. The northern kingdom was taken into captivity about 150 years before the southern kingdom. Northern kingdom by Assyria, southern kingdom by Babylon. But they're both in their rebellion going to be taken out. And notice it says the sacred pillars under every green tree. This was sexual worship. It was these gods of sex, if you will. And they would go to these groves and under these gods and all these whatever and have these perform these religious sex acts, I guess is what they would call them. And they would have also these, again, verse 24, there were also perverted persons in the land. These are basically religious homosexual prostitutes. And they would work in these temples and do homosexual acts, if you will, in worship of these gods or whatever that was happening. It says, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. So you had the women prostitutes in the temples, but you also had the men prostitutes. Both were there in the temples in those days. It happened in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem, and he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took away everything. He also took away the gold shields which Solomon had made, and then King Rehoboam made bronze shields in their place. Note that. And committed them to the hands of the captains of the guard who guarded the doorway of the king's house. Look at this again. Now, even as Jeroboam sinned and was removed from his kingdom and lost his glory, now Rehoboam is going to be, his glory is brought down, if you will. Why? They had all the gold and the riches of the kingdom because they honored God. They were a nation that was blessed financially, is a great way to say it if you want a modern day application, because they honored the Lord. But as they began to turn away from God, God took away their blessings financially. And it went from gold to bronze. And by the way, bronze is the metal of judgment in Scripture. So it's like, you were a nation that I was blessing greatly, and now you're a nation that I'm going to be cursing greatly because you've turned from me. Again, a warning to us. Whenever the king entered the house of the Lord, the guards carried them, these bronze shields, and they brought them back into the guard room. And the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days. So the two kingdoms fighting each other. And Rehoboam rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. His mother's name was Naamah the Ammonitess. And then Abijam, his son, reigned in his place. And that's as far as we're going to get tonight, chapter 14, because I want to leave plenty of time for communion and afterglow. But again, what a great chapter and passage in Scripture. And I would say, guys, a couple of main things to grab from this. The more accountable, the more we know and the more we've walked with the Lord and the farther along we are in the Lord, the more accountable we are. So You know, if you've been walking with the Lord some length of time and you've known the Lord, you've been serving him, it doesn't mean if you don't know the Lord as much and haven't been walking that you don't need to be having a healthy fear of God. But again, for those of us that have been walking with the Lord for a length of time, we need to be on our toes. On our toes spiritually. This is not a time to let down our guard in the later years. How many people do we read in the Bible in their later years they let down their guard and they fall away? How many believers have we heard about in their later years let down their guard and they fall away? So those of you that are fathers and mothers in the faith, don't let your guard down. Stay on your toes. Stay sharp. Stay alert. Stay aware. And also, just a warning to us, you know, to be faithful to the Lord. I mean, both Rehoboam and Jeroboam, both of them unfaithful to the Lord. One provoking to jealousy for all these different gods that they served. Another provoking to jealousy up north for starting new idols and gods and all this. And just not keeping the Lord as their first and foremost love. You know, remembering, you read the book of Revelation. It talks about you've left your first love. You know, return to your love. You know, come back to me, you know. And I think that's a great message for us today is to stay faithful to the Lord in our first love. And what a great night to do that. This is a great night. We have communion. It's a great time to confess our sin, to get our heart right with the Lord, to recommit to the Lord. You know, so I encourage you guys, if you've been walking with the Lord any length of time and you've noticed that your walk with the Lord, your life, your love for him has waned a little bit, go back to some of the things you did in the early days. Maybe pull out some of those early CDs you had. You know, I put on this morning a little bit of Keith Green. 30 years ago, listen to Keith Green, just worshiping God in Nashville to Keith Green, you know, and I don't listen to Keith very much, but pull out some Keith Green, I was like, Lord, just, you know, again, if you listen to him now in the younger generation, you're going to go, well, that's guy's really dated, don't listen to that, but just whatever God used in your life to really just draw you in and to get you close to him and all, I think it's good to go back and visit that every so often and say, Lord, I want to just recommit. I just want to re-give my life to you. I want to just tell you I love you again. I want to just worship you with reckless abandon. I want to just get lost in you and just enjoy you and just be with you. And I encourage you as we do this tonight, as we end now and we have communion, get your heart right with the Lord, confess your sin, get right with the Lord, and then let's just enjoy him. Okay? You don't have to perform. He's not expecting anything. He just loves you. You're his kids. You're family in heaven. And he just wants you to love him and sing to him and thank him and praise him and just enjoy him. And then when we get into the afterglow, if God puts something in your heart, stand up and share it. If you have some of the gifts you want to operate in, operate in the gifts. If you have a script you want to share a scripture, whatever the case might be. But let's pray. Let's get our hearts ready for communion. Then we'll have a worship song. We can really get our heart ready for communion during that time. And then we'll have communion and just enter into a time of waiting on the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, again for your word tonight. As always, it's so rich and so appropriate, Lord, to where we are. Speaking to us, Lord, right now in our lives. Things that happened thousands of years ago. And Lord, we understand that because it's outside of time. Your word is not bound by man's time clock. It is eternal, which means it doesn't matter when it happened. You speak right now to our hearts from that portion of scripture. And you did it again tonight. And we thank you for it. And I pray now, Lord, that you would just again forgive us of our sins. Lord, as we enter a time now of just worshiping you, let us use this time, this song, Lord, just to confess our sin. If there's any way we've grieved your heart or provoked you to jealousy because we've worshiped other gods and made other things more important than you, then right now we just confess it and get it right and turn our eyes and our heart back to you, Lord, in worship and in praise. And Lord, we just remember what you've done for us on the cross through your body and your blood, and then just to celebrate you tonight. So Lord, be blessed. Pour out your spirit on your people. Let your glory rest in this place as we now turn to you, Lord, and get our hearts right and give you the glory and the praise that's due your name. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.